Those of you young people that don't know me, my name's Tom Twist. I'm actually from James Smith. I was born in Gordon's back in the bush. My grandmother was a midwife and delivered me. I don't remember too much of living in the bush there, but I guess when I was little, they had to tie a bell on me so they could find me. You know, I was always wandering off. Yeah. But anyway, I've been here for 26 years now, so a lot of you weren't born yet when I came. But I've watched a lot of yous growing up. You know, I was talking to Annika yesterday, and I remember her as a little girl singing and playing in the dirt there, and you know, but things like that, you know, and I must say, first of all, that I'm proud to live here, you know, because I've seen so many good things happen for the people in the community. Now, a little bit, I'm just going to do a little bit of background. You know, back in, I was born in 1947, so I'm a little bit older than this guy. I don't remember too much. I remember different little things, you know, like being on James Smith and when I was a little boy and going around in the wagon horse. Sorry, there's a bug on my glasses. And, you know, things were fairly good in my early life. You know, back in 1951, our people were allowed to leave the reserve without getting permission. You know, so my dad, my mom, my uncles, they all went to the little towns to work. And they took us with them. My brother and I, and so we learned to play with other kids, you know, white kids. We didn't think, you know, they were any different than us, or that we were any different than them. You know, we were kids. We had fun together. You know, and about 1954, when I was 7 years old, all of a sudden, things changed. I was taken to that big red building there that you see with the pictures taken around. So I went to a little bit before Ace went, and I couldn't understand what was happening. And I cried for being left there. And like Ace described, a lot of the little things that happened, our clothing, we had to line up all the time, you know, and, but the one thing that really stuck out in my memory is one of these supervisors. He always called us, "You goddamn little heathens." That was something that sort of stuck in my mind, what he called us. You know, and throughout the years that when I was younger there, when we went to bed at night, I always wondered, why were some of these little boys going into this supervisor's room? And I didn't know or understand until much later that they were being abused. I was not sexually abused, but I was physically abused, mentally abused. If we weren't listening to some of these supervisors, we had a lot of different kinds of people come in and look after us. They call them supervisors. Some of them were not too bad, but some of them were bad. The physical abuse I suffered was getting slapped in the head, getting kicked in the ass with hard shoes. The other thing was some of the medical things that happened. You know, we all had to use this one towel to wash with or to dry our hands. And I can still remember my hands being so chapped they started bleeding. I had to get bandages put on my hand. You know, things like, little things like that. And I remember girls running away from school, coming back and getting all their heads shaved right off. Girls stayed on one side, we stayed on the other side, in this one big communal dining room. So one of the good things that happened with that was we learned to communicate with the girls by using sign language. You know, A-E-I-O-U. You know. And we weren't allowed near the girls. You know, and I was listening to Marianne yesterday, you know, when they first went in. I remember getting my head washed with kerosene, and it used to burn. Because they assumed we were all full of bugs. And I'm sort of, you know, just giving you pieces, eh? Trying to get you to understand what many of us went through, and that's been carried on for generations. I guess the purpose was to civilize us and to make us good little Christians. We went to church. We had to have little blazers on and little gray pants and shoes. Sometimes we went twice on Sundays. And we were taught if we didn't listen and behave, we would burn in hell. All of these things to civilize us, to Christianize us. Many little things like that. Ace talked about porridge. I remember the porridge. Sometimes it was burnt. But we learned to eat everything because we were always hungry to. We didn't get that much. I remember as I got a little bit older, I got a job. We had a bread truck that would come in, and I got the job of unloading the bread. And I used to stuff the loaves of bread in my jacket. And I go and share it with some of the other boys afterwards. We used to work out in the field, digging up turnips. And so we didn't mind that because we got to eat. But I want to talk a little bit about the effects. What happened as a result of that? As a result of residential school? I learned, hey, I'm different from white people. And I started noticing the way they looked at me, because my mom worked in a farm in a little town. And I felt ashamed of myself, because I was still that little heathen. I had no identity, really. Where in the hell am I going to fit in this world? I was ashamed. I've never talked too much about this before. And I can feel some of the emotion still here. Took me a long time to start changing my life, because I went through everything too. One of the things we learned was not to show our emotions. I think Patty mentioned that yesterday. I was always trying to find, where do I belong? I used to go around with other boys and on the res there. And we started experimenting with alcohol. I took a little sip. Yeah. But I wanted to be one of the guys. For a while there, I just pretend to drink, kind of pour a little bit out and give it back. But eventually, I started liking it. Because I wanted to be one of the boys. I wanted to be like my friends. And that went on, and it went on. But I started changing other things. I think about 1958-59, Gordon started what they call integration, where they'd bus some of us to school in Punitai, the white school. But again, there you could tell staff treated us differently. Well, we got these little Indian boys coming here now. Are they going to be a problem? But we all stuck together. And I think it was not too long after that, one of my uncles passed away. And back then, our people were allowed to go into bars, finally, you know. And after the funeral and all that, a lot of the family members went to the bar. I went to the pool room, because I was just a kid yet. And when I was playing pool there, the assistant principal walked in. He just walked around. He saw me there. Didn't say anything. Next day I went to school and they gave me a strapping, saying I was missing school for nothing. They used those big, what do you call those things? Big leather things. Yeah. Not these kind of belts, big machine belts. Cut up into straps. So finally I got into high school. In grade 10, again something similar happened, and they called me in, and you know, not understanding how our people dealt with grief. So they really tied into me. So I just turned around and walked out and quit. Quit school. But I carried that shame for many years. But later on in life I found the answer in a bottle. When I used that bottle, I was able to express myself. I didn't have to hide my emotions. But what came out was anger. Got into a lot of fights. You know, and that went on for years. I had good jobs in between. But that bottle was always calling me. But I quit a few times, but that because other people wanted me to quit. And then one day I finally realized I gotta quit for me. Nobody can make me quit. I can make myself quit. But I got some help too. This was 40 years ago. Throughout the years, I've seen many young people pass away because of alcohol and drug-related I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to each find ourselves. We need to find our purpose in life. For me, it was working with people. My motto has always been helping people to help themselves. Not just helping people, helping them to help themselves. I listened to Marianne yesterday and it brought back a lot of emotions in me. But today I'm still a little bit emotional, but I've learned to deal with it. How did I come to learn to be myself? Well, I started to learn about our people. I started learning about our culture, our traditions. I started attending ceremonies and listening to what elders were saying because they had gone through many similar experiences. Today I'm glad to be where I am. I'm glad to be me. And I thank the Creator for that, for being there to help me. I pray every day for my family, my relatives, my friends, the community, all the young people, that they will learn to make the right choices in their lives. That there is nothing impossible for them. They've got to find that purpose. You've got to find that direction for yourself. You've got to make the right choices. There are people to help you, but it's up to you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to talk to older people. There are so many opportunities for you. You've just got to. you've just got.
Water.
You've just got to explore all those opportunities that are available. Find something that you like. You're still young right now, but hopefully some of these words We'll stick with you. That some of these words will come back to you at some point. And you'll start realizing about life. You're going to have a lot of ups and downs. Everybody has that. But you get back up and you fight for yourself. Only you can do that. So I encourage you to do the best in your life for yourself, for your friends, for your families, for your communities. Because you must be telling me to quit. You're all capable of doing those things. And I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad we've had this opportunity to share a little bit of stuff. And have a, you know, and for you, coming to say it's lunchtime, but I want to thank you young people for listening. I may not be the greatest speaker, but I'm just telling you what's here. Thank you.
Are you doing questions? Anybody ask questions? Anybody, ask? Okay. If any of your students have any questions for our elders here, be just ask away.
Hey, just a second, I'm gonna start again.